You've tuned in just in time for Thursday Night Live with Calvary Chapel St. Paul, a time of worship, study of God's Word, and afterglow waiting on the Holy Spirit. Calvary Chapel St. Paul is dedicated to simply teaching the Word of God, book by book, chapter by chapter, word by word. So grab your Bible and a notebook, and let's hear what God's living Word has to say for our lives today during this broadcast of Thursday Night Live.
Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing the work in our lives to worship. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to do the work in our lives as we study your Word and find out more about you and how much you love us. And God, that we can just learn from the book of Job tonight as we give this all to you, that we would leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, and most importantly, more in love with you than when we came here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Job chapter 23. We're going to try to get to chapters 45 tonight. There's no chapter 45. All right, good. We're going to get hopefully through chapter 27. It's what I studied for, what I have prayed for, and let's just jump right into it. Then Job answered and said, now he's answering Eliphaz. Eliphaz has said, you're wicked. It's obviously you're wicked. Look how sick you are. And obviously, when someone is prospering and God gives them a lot of abundance of things, then obviously God is blessing them. You know, that's unfortunately, that's around even to this day. We call it the health and wealth, blab it and grab it, name it, claim it, prosperity doctrine, bad teaching saying that God wants you prosperous and well and healthy and well. And, you know, you're a child of the king. You should be driving whatever, not what you are driving. This is unfortunate. This is his comforters who are trying to, well, they're not really trying. Remember, they're giddy. Let's go through your checklist because you're taking notes. Let's go through your checklist. When someone's giddy, when someone's excited to confront you, they're not there for you. It should anguish you. It should cause you some problems. You should actually be thinking more about yourself than them, but then you repent of that, and then you think more of them, and that's why you'll go and confront them. That's why Christians don't confront one another. That's why a lot of people, but Christians, we should be able to because we have the truth and the Word of God. But many people do not confront, admonish, encourage, or help someone along because you're worried about what the other person thinks about you. It might not seem like it, but I used to be that way. I know it's not now. Just like I've overcome my fear of anorexia. You could never tell. Never had anorexia. You can tell that there's some things I've overcome in life. But I'm very thorough. I'm very efficient. I don't like going back two or three times to talk to somebody. It's one. I believe in the nuclear option. Nuke them all till they glow and let God sort them out. And so it's worked well for me in years. Again, But Eliphaz, now remember, Job 42, verse 7, everything they're saying, they're talking out the side of their necks. In other words, they are not speaking for God, and God says, you didn't speak for me. Nothing you said was of me. But you kept saying, it was of you. It was of the Lord. You know, because one of the commenters says, you know, I was waking at the middle of the night, and, you know, my bones are shaking, my hair's up, standing up, and I got the goosebumps or whatever goose or whatever bird they had back then. You know, I had the doo-doo bird or dodo bird. I got all the bumps. I got all the willies. I got the chimneys. I got all the feelings and emotions. It's got to be the Lord. Who here has been to Israel with me? Have you ever had gas because the food we ate there? Maybe it was a bad falafel that night. Maybe that was, you know, there's some things. I gave someone some encouragement the other night that said they're reading through the book of Revelation. I said, do it early in the morning. Don't read the book of Revelation at night. Especially when you get to the middle chapters. Your dreams are all kinds of just read it early in the morning. You have a lot of time to deal with it. All right, that's just my advice. So Job chapter 23, he's going to answer them. And if you haven't been picking up on it, get your tips on biblical trash talking. Get your tips on what's happening here because Job then answers him. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Radio God's turned off. Radio God is silent right now, and Job's going through these things, and he knows it's by God's hand. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. This is great. Because when Job does get that opportunity to basically stand before the Lord and God answers, he's silent. So when you get, listen, folks, you read ahead, get to chapter 38 and on, and he's just silent. But he's saying, you know, when I get to heaven, when I get to be with him, he's got some explaining to do. I mean, some people walk their ways that way. That's what Job's happening. Now understand this. Job is having great highs and he is having great lows. The world calls that manic depressive. If you have a great, great, great highs and great, great, great lows, then you're bipolar manic depressive. And then if you don't remember your great highs and great lows, you're AD. Hey, that's a nice water bottle. You know, you got all that. So, you know, all the world just wants to diagnose and treat, diagnose and treat, diagnose and treat. Instead of, maybe your parents just did a horrible job with you. Ever think about that? And maybe your parents doing horrible jobs right now. Maybe your parents just didn't raise you with anything. I was a biblical child. You could look at my life and look at me, the crimes that I did, probation officers I had at the age of 9, jail time, a juvenile hall time. You can tell I was a biblical kid. I was in the Bible. The Bible says a child left unto himself, his way always leads to paradise. Destruction. Destruction, destruction, destruction. And so here, these are the things. So when I going to stand before God, you know, oh, that I could find God, that I could have this argument with him and say, what's going on here? Well, read the rest of Job, folks. You should. Job's just silent. Because what can you say when you're in the presence of the Lord? What can you say when God's finally answering you? Verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so I should be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's the thing about gold. It's not afraid of the fire. Here's the thing about gold, that it's not afraid of the fire in the sense of that it's going to be purified. And the dross and the impurities will rise to the top. That scum will be taken away. And that which is refined gold. Read through the Bible about gold and how it's used. He tells us here that I'll be tried as gold. Verse 11 of Job 23. My foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined. Look at verse 11 and 12. If you're going to walk away with anything tonight, walk away with verses 11 and 12. Understand the time. Now, I didn't do an overview at the beginning of where Job. Job's most likely older than the book of Genesis. And Job, best research and evidence that is out there is that Job, at this time, Job is alive closer to almost 300 years after the flood of Noah. After the flood of Noah. There's no Mount Sinai. There's no Moses. There's none. So when you read verses 11 and 12, he says here, my foot hath held his steps, his ways, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how I live my life. Well, what commands? Goes all the way back to the garden, folks, Adam and Eve. It was spelled out there. And then after the flood of Noah, after Noah and the eight make it off the ark, there are seven commands that they were to live by. This is unfortunate that the Kabbalah, the mystic or the mysticism of Jewish mysticism, they believe that they only follow the seven laws of Noah, and therefore anyone can follow the seven laws of Noah. That's all Noah. That's all. But you see, whenever one contract is fulfilled and the new contract comes in, it voids the old contract. So now comes Mount Sinai, now comes Moses, now comes the commandments, now there comes a fuller revelation. But understand this, that God has put in every man, woman, and child's heart, their lives, their spirit, soul, and body, when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of lives, plural, there was a physical life and there was a spiritual life. In that day that you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. Die. Well, what died? Adam didn't die for what, 940 years later? Did he have a belly button or not? Because he was created? Well, that's another argument. But you see, what died? That's why you go all the way through the Old Testament. It talks about a new spirit, a new heart, a new life. The term born again is nothing new in the New Testament. Jesus just happened to apply it to himself, and that you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And then he tells one of Israel's teacher there, you know, Nick at night, Nicodemus comes to him at night and tells him these things. And Jesus, not putting him down, not ridiculing him, but questions him. You? And what we know about Nicodemus from ascertained fact, from literal history, he would not only, because remember, Jesus refers to him as Israel's teacher. He was not just Israel's teacher. He was the teacher of teachers in Israel. When they came together for the various feasts at the temple, and they had all the various rabbis teaching throughout the temple, what we see, the Temple Mount area, but all through Solomon's temple there, all the, they would come and they would teach. This is the guy that everyone was crowding to see. This is Nicodemus, who supposedly had a great handle on the Word of God. And Jesus simply asked them, why do you marvel when I talk about that ye must be born again? He says, can a man enter a mother's womb a second time to be born again? And he's basically saying, ooh. He says, you're carnally minded. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You need to be born of the water. Hey, sisters, I don't want to be gross, but what happens before the baby shows up? Water. The water. So we know that there's this thing that happens. I'm not talking about water baptism. Some would say, well, you see, you got to get water baptized. Trust me, if you were born, you were water baptized that way, into this world. But you're born of the water, so physical, and you need to be born again of the Spirit. So here, verses 11 and 12, what commands? What commandments, what things, what are the very words of God? God has put in every man, woman, and child to have that conscience, to know that thing. But also it was revealed, and this is just 300 years, quite possibly closer to that, but conservative estimate is 300 years. Noah was still alive. They knew about Job. Job's a famous person. They've all known about Job, and so they've written about it. So he tells them here, my foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him? For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. If you're following with Job, Job's talking, you're talking some good stuff. This is some good theology, man. That's something. And then he's right back in the pit. He's out of the pit, he's in the pit. He's out of the pit, he's in the pit. The world would try to diagnose and treat him. The world would try to say, you know, and think about this. If there's more than this, but there's right now 250 different schools of discipline of psychology. Psychology, by the way, is a philosophy degree. You can call yourself a doctor if you get a philosophy degree, a PhD. You can call yourself a doctor. And many psychologists do, but it's a philosophy degree. There really is no degree in psychology. There's degrees in psychiatry, but you're a medical doctor with a philosophy degree. And so there's over 250 different schools of discipline when it comes to it. There's Maslow, B.F. Skinner, there's Jung, there's Freud. There's all these different ways of how to come and answer this. And I've shared this with you before as a pilot. If I call to the control tower and say, I want to land at the airport, and they say, turn 15 degrees, we have you on radar, turn 15 degrees to the left, line up with runway 14, clear to land. And I just say, you narrow-minded, dogmatic, fundamentalist air traffic controller. Ed, were you with me that time when I did that? Okay, so I've done that. Like, what are you doing? And it kind of stunned them, but I tried it just once, and you kind of get known around town about that. But you go, and I said, there's many runways out here. Why do I have to choose this one? And literally the air traffic controller's going, this is 20-some years ago. I didn't have a recorder with me, but that would have been, maybe we're going to have to reenact that, Ed. We'll have to redo that there. And they're going to, oh, you again. We heard about you. But they're just like, oh. I mean, they left the mic open. I don't know how to respond to that. And I'm just messing with you. Just, you know. So there is only one way. And they're like, yes, there's only one way to come into this airport. There's only one way to come in. Isn't that very narrow-minded? So there's only one way. And they're like, yeah. I go, that's funny. People think I'm a fanatic because I say Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life into heaven. Click, 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 click. Everyone's hearing in the radio frequencies where they're cracking up. But it's sort of like, and then you almost want him to, I almost thought I was going to hear him say, can you go up to Anoka? Can you go to another airport? This is downtown St. Paul Airport. So it's about 20 years ago. If you ever meet an air traffic controller who worked around that time, Kimberly knows what I'm talking about because we were coming back from Chicago. This was like 6-7 days after I got my private pilot's certificate. We flew down to Chicago. We're coming back. Coming into St. Paul. It's about 8:30 in the morning, and I just give my call sign. And the control tower goes, hey, how was Chicago? Kimberly just looks at me and she goes, it's starting again, isn't it? Where people are getting to know you. You didn't even give your name. You gave a tail number of an airplane, and yet, they kind of know my voice there. I go, yes, this is the guy who wanted to know if there was any other way to land at the airport. You kind of get known for that. And so here, Job says, I've obeyed your commands. I've got your word. We've got your commands. I've got your word. It's there. God has never left anyone without an excuse, or you have no excuse. No one is going to stand before God on that day of judgment and have an excuse or a reason. God has illuminated, God has revealed himself. And what does God's word say? Well, every man's a liar. It means mankind, so you women are in it too. But everyone's a liar, but God is true. And what is, as we're going through the book of Romans, what have we already read in the first early chapters? Man willingly suppressed the truth and participate in a lie. You don't think so? Find out about all those who have to support evolution or get fired from their jobs. I would encourage you to get the Ben Stein movie. He is a secular Jew. He's not a believer. I thought he was coming close to it. And he did this little documentary called Expelled because he thought he was trying to disprove this conspiracy that if you disallow evolution, if you don't support evolution, you'll get fired from your jobs. Even if you're a tenure professor, a tenure means they can't fire you. But they're firing him. He says, that's not true. And he started doing this documentary and he's like, wow. And then when he's finished with this documentary and it aired, he got fired from the Wall Street Journal as a columnist. But his response to them is, so what? I'm rich already. But he just finds it. Get the documentary called Expelled. I think it's even free now. Hulu, Netflix, Uflix, In Your Face, whatever. It's out there. All right? If you're watching the movie and you see someone stand up and walk across the screen, that's a bootleg. Don't be watching that one. Really? Those are the only movies I ever grew up on. I know. All right. You hear people coughing in the movie and they're not in your room. Okay. Notice the people who are sitting around you laughing who know what that means. Okay. But he is of one mind. Look at chapter 24. Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they know him and not see his days? He sees what's going on. Listen. This is the argument that we've all said. Well, God loves me. You know, I'm mocking you. I'm right there with you. Well, if God loves me, why did you let this happen? After all I've done. Really? I don't see you nailed to a cross. I just don't know what happened, Pastor Chip. I just fell into sin. I go, where's the knife wounds? Where's the bullet hole? Where's that? You know, where you were forced to do this. See, that's why I like when it says in Hebrews, none of us has resisted temptation to the point of the shedding of our own blood. show me the blood. Show me the scars. Show me the marks. In fact, rabbit trails, never mind. Not in fact. We'll get to another fact here. It tells us here, it says, why seeing in times are not hidden from the Almighty? Do they know him, not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass and the fatherless. They take the wild, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way, the poor of the earth. Hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey, and the wilderness yieldeth food for them and their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, and they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with showers of the mountains. Man, Job, you are in this pit. That they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock of want of shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast, and they take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan for out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Eliphaz. Wait a minute. You're telling me the wicked who oppress all this. Almighty sees this, and everyone else sees it. The wicked oppress the workers. They oppress all this stuff, and they're gaining and they're gathering wealth, and you're telling me God is blessing them. Listen, if you're taking notes, and just when people ask you how you're doing, and you start naming off your material blessings, you are a vomitous, carnal, flesh bag of pus. It's okay to have nice things. But if that's what you are representing to people, yeah, God really blessed me with his $562 car payment and insurance a month. God really, I think the devil blessed you with that. I think he was at the signing, all right? He was handing you the pen. God really blessed me with, really, I'm pretty sure you did that. And so when you start naming off all the material blessings, and again, I've shared this story before, and I've used it plenty of times, but if you're new here, a friend of mine who really held on to things tight, and God really took him away. He wouldn't let anyone use his truck, did anything he was going to, you know, he used everyone else's vehicles and things, but he finally got a truck, and he didn't let anyone use it. He didn't want to let anyone in church use it, anyone else use it, because he was afraid they were going to treat it like he treated everyone's vehicles. And going around a turn about 30 miles an hour, his little truck, his Chevy S10, slipped out from underneath him and totaled it. So he gets a brand new truck, a little pickup truck, signs it, insurance pays for it. He goes there, he signs the papers, and goes right up the truck, right in front of the salesman, and just hauls off and kicks the door in. Salesman goes, "What are you doing?" He says, "Eh, might as well just get it over with." Cart's going to go into it. It's going to get damaged. I work construction. Might as well just get it over with. And now I don't have to worry about it when it's ever going to happen. It's going to happen. Salesman just goes, "Man, you Jesus freaks. But who cares? You know, you paid me 10 grand. You can do whatever you want to it. Just get it over with. Just get it over with." And so here, when you start naming off the material blessings, and you can be blessed with those things, I'm all for it. But if that's what you're saying, that God is blessing, listen, take notes of this. You're not going to hell. You're saved from eternal damnation and ultimate separation from God for all eternity. I'm speaking from the Amplified Version. You are saved from being a selfish, vomitous, carnal flesh bag of... What are you thinking? Whatever it is, you fill in that bag. Whatever it is, Frances Schaeffer's daughter wrote a book, How to Be Your Own Selfish Pig. And it's just, you got to get that one. How to Be Your Own Selfish Pig in this society. And just, here's things you're going to do. And like, oh, that's me. Well, I guess I'm there. No, that's not a good thing. It's not a compliment. The wicked are prospering off the backs of others, and you're using that as to say that, I did this one time, I worked for a person, and I got fired from the job three times, a school bus, one of my many part-time jobs working for Jesus Christ Mutual Life. And I was in the school bus driver's division, and going to school, trying to get some things knocked out, and working part-time, and I got fired from this job three times. And the first time, as I told him a year in advance, I'm going to a conference. And at that time, the pastor's conference was in May. Actually, it was on Mother's Day weekend. And so it was that weekend. So Sunday after Mother's Day, or sometime Saturday for the flights, I'd have to leave and go out to California for this conference. And I would always tell them a year in advance, I'm going to be gone this week. And they would always say, well, we can't afford to let you off at that time. I said, there's a mistake. What's that? I'm not asking for the time off. I'm not asking you for the time off. I'm letting you know I'm not going to be here. Well, we're not used to that. I know. You see, if I ask for the time off and you say no, then, you know, I've got to be rebellious or lie or call in sick or like everyone else does. I'm letting you know you need a bus driver here for that week. Well, we're not. And I would, 9 months in a month, every month, man, I'd be telling them, look, I'm going to be gone. Then. Well, we're not going to let you go. And sure enough, my dispatcher would say, if you're not showing up, you're fired. And praise God, this is in the early 90s, no cell phones. And I would call back later in the night and talk to Kimberly. Says, oh, yeah, your company called. They said, if you don't come in, then you're fired. Oh, yeah, well, okay. I'm sure they got something else to do. Now, the school bus company, they need to get those school buses there. They have contracts, and they got it fulfilled. And so I come back early on a Monday morning, and I fill out an application. I submit an application. Said, yeah, I'm applying for, I see your sign outside. Do you need school bus drivers? I said, I know the route pretty well. I got a school bus driver's license, and here you go. They're like, cut! Dispatcher starts cussing at me and doing all this stuff. Get out there, you'll go drive the route. I'm like, man, they treat new employees around here kind of awful. And then I go over there, so can I get a time card? It says, there's already one in there. And I go, predestination? That blows my mind. And they're like, what? Check this out, man. This is good. Do I get a new employee's manual? And they just... So I let them know. I said, hey, this time next year is going to be the same thing, you know. And if you fire me, I'm not sure I might come back. Next year they fire me. They fire me. And then, okay. And then they call me and we want you to come back. Hey, you fired me. Just get in here early, you know. So they were expecting me to show up early. I didn't. So they had to call me. And I lived across the street at that time from the bus company. And then, all right, I'll get over there. And I go over there and do the same thing. Well, the following year, I was really working hard at working the bonus. If you didn't get any tickets, whatever drivers were left at the end of the year who didn't have any violations, they kept their bus clean and everything, they were going to split a bonus. And out of a couple hundred drivers, it usually got down to about 50 of us, and we were going to split about three, quite possibly $5,000 between the ones. It was real good incentive. And I show up, and they said, you know, you're fired. Now, a couple of weeks before, the owner of the company got employer of the year of the city that this company's in. And they fired me. I only had 1 week left before school was out, and they fired me. I said, so I'm not going to get part of the bonus. Well, no, you're absent. I said, I told you I wasn't going to be here then. No, the president, you know, owner of the company. I said, oh, okay, not a problem. So I walk in, and I say, Mr., you know, Smuckatelli, that's not his name. I just said, so I'm really fired this time. I mean, you're really not going to take me back this time. And you're going to, so I'm out part of that bonus. And I'm part out all, and he goes, yeah. And he's just getting upset. And I go, well, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah. You got this award. It's in the newspaper. You got this award for Employer of the Year. Yeah. Did they interview any of your employees? Was that part of the criteria? It's like, what? Did they interview any of your employees? Because I don't think you would have won. He goes, what are you talking about? It says, well, you have an employee's manual. He goes, yeah. And I go, well, we have the one on paper, and then there's the one in your head. And we never know when we violate the one in your head until you're yelling and screaming. I mean, you are a really horrible manager. You're really not good. And you got to understand, no one here is really coming here out of the kindness of their hearts. It's, you pay a wage, and we're telling them that. But you're telling me, and then he starts yelling and screaming at me, and I'm like, you need to calm down. You know, and I'm like, this is 20-some years. I'm 32 years old. You're near death. I go, what exactly are you prepared to do? So you need to tone that. You just need to tone it down. I mean, are you going to physically accost me? So you just better settle down. I'm a grown man here. Talk to me. He says, so they didn't. So I get it. They didn't interview any of your employees. I said, you're just a really horrible manager. Maybe you ought to put that manual down. Yeah. So do you think I'm never going to drive bus in this town again? This is the only game in town? I go, I've given you lots of loyal service. And I said, I've only asked off 1 week out of the year. And this is how you treat him. I said, okay. I said, Mr. Smocatelli, you're going to have more problems in your life ripping me off, all right, than I'm going to have not having a share of that $5,000 was going to be split between us. You're going to have more problems in your life. And actually, he did. I did not know this until a couple years later. See, the wicked, and they're doing all this stuff. And this guy was wicked. And I found out a couple of years later, and a lot of people did not like me. I don't know if you know that. You might like me. A lot of people didn't really enjoy my company at the company, all right, because I'm always really one-track mind, really focused on people's salvation and getting them saved, and not liking that a whole lot. But I found out a couple of years later that about a few people who weren't in line for the bonus, but about a dozen people quit that day. And it was the last week of school, and the mechanics, the secretaries, everyone in the company has a bus driver's license. And everybody, and including Mr. Smocatelli, had to drive these routes, because if they failed to do it, they would lose their contract. They would lose their contract. And so I was like, kind of felt good a little bit there, you know. But everyone's like, I can't believe he did that. I was like, well, why did you quit? I can't believe what he did from you. And then, don't get me wrong, none of us really liked you, but we couldn't fault you for what you did. And you were kind of a hero telling them, you know, no one talked to you. Because that was the whole prevailing thought, is all the other employees were like, he won this award, but they never talked. Did anyone get interviewed? Did anyone tell him what a horrible person he is as a boss? And no. So, and this person had wealth. This person had material. This person had everything. But Mr. Smocatelli, as far as I know, when he died, never, never surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And you know how much he left behind? All of it. Yeah, very good. All of it. I know someday that I'm going to be with Jesus. Job knows it too, and that's what kind of pulls him back or pulls him out of this pit. Has the highs, he has the low. And you can look at the people who are prospering. You can even, and if you it seems that God's blessing them those things, it just means you desire and covet what they want and what they have, which, by the way, is not one of the 10 suggestions. But if you're coveting what others have and desiring that, how about this? And so he questions Eliphaz, and he tells him, listen, the very commands and words of God, they're more necessary to me than the very food. He says here in chapter 24, verse 13, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. So how can that really be the blessing of the Lord? The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy in the night as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth me. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. What is that when you're marking a house during the daytime? What do you call that? What are you doing? What is it? All right. So the people who know what that is, and they were able to answer like that, just want to say, be careful when you invite them over. All right. In the dark, they dig through houses which they mark for themselves. In the daytime, they know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If I know them, they are in terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not and doth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is sure of life. Though it be given to him be in safety, be given him to be in safety, whereupon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be known so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? He understands his commandments in the very lips of God, and he understands what God requires of him. He hasn't declined to do that. You're telling me I'm wicked, I'm in sin, I'm being punished. I keep asking you, show me my sin, not facetiously, not just saying like, I don't recognize my sin, I don't know what I've done here. No, I really want to know because I want to repent, if that really is it. But that doesn't seem to be it. This is just seems to be the hand of God. I'm not really enjoying it. So this is about 300 years after the flood of Noah. Also, evidence, again, the research, do your own. But this is over a six, this whole encounter is taking over 6 months. Listen, I would like to skim through Job. And we see 42 chapters of Job, actually 37 chapters of in the pit, out of the pit, up and down and up and down. If this was just a couple of chapters, if this was just a couple of weeks in Job's life, probably wouldn't hear anything of it. But this is something that's gone on. The whole town knows about it. It's actually written in the Bible. Jesus quotes Job. All these things going on here. And we're able, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, that these were a shadow and a foretaste of things to come. And they experienced these things, not knowing the outcome, but for yours and I's benefit, that you would know these things. That when you come up against something you don't know, you fall back on what you do know. And you can bring your doubts, your mistrusts, and your complaints to the Lord. But when He speaks, really there's nothing you can say. God's a pretty big God, and He can take whatever abuse that we throw at Him. But be ready to listen when He speaks. And that's why you need to read ahead. And so He knows these commands. And understand this, the very Word of God, the commands of God, there was a written Word of God at the time of Job. It wasn't just, hearsay. And they had various commands written down that He knows the very words, not just orally communicated to them. China and India have about the same amount of time of history in their civilization, about 6,000 years. And the science of the day, if you look at those cultures, we're going to find out that they thought the earth was on the back of an elephant. You can see that in some Hindu script. They thought it was on the back of an elephant was holding up the whole flat earth, the whole span of the earth there. What was the elephant standing on is my question. No one ever looks at it and like, oh, well, great. And that's what I asked my Hindu friends, like, well, what's the elephant standing on? And they're like, oh. We're going to find something that Job, if you've gone through Job and he talks about escaping by the skin of his teeth, no dentist role back then. What is there? Not that we knew of dentistry. And do you know there's a part of your teeth that's actually called a skin and the skin of the teeth? We say, hey, meaning it was a very slim thing. It's the same way the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions and the very attitudes of the heart. And so we're going to see something here when they talk about some things about the future that comes out in the future. Understand this about science. It's just barely catching up to God. God nowhere is in a race with science. I mean, science, every time there's a new discovery in science, The angels in heaven go, finally? Who didn't know that? You know penicillin? You know it's been discovered 3 times? Wait a minute, how does penicillin? Because when we get over antibiotics, which we're at right now, pre-World War II, you know, 50, 60 years, almost 70 years before that, people were over antibiotics, and they stopped giving a penicillin. Come World War II, they need to start giving penicillin. And now we're at that point where we're super saturated. There's stuff that scares penicillin right back into the syringe, doesn't even taste it or touch it anymore. And so people forgot about it. And I don't know if someone licked some moldy cheese or some mold on the bark of a tree or whatever, but hey, I feel better. I don't know how. They must have lost a bet. But they discover penicillin again. But it's been discovered 3 times. That's not really a discovery. You continue to forget about this. And so here, he tells them here that, let's jump to chapter 25, verse 1. Then Bildad, this is probably the last time we're going to hear from Bildad, the Shuhite, said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm? Well, if you want to cross-reference that, you put Psalm 22, verse 6, because the psalmist actually even quotes that. I'm most ignorant man, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm just a worm, step on me, watch me squirm. That's a paraphrase by Chick. Chapter 26, but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? What really help are you doing for me right now? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentiful declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? Who are you talking to? Job, I counseled you. Listen, this is by the hand of God. I'm not angry at God. I don't like what I'm going through. And when I see God, now Job thinks God's got some explaining to do, what's going on here, but when he hears from God, and we'll see that around chapter 38. He says, but what are you saying? You don't make any sense. Your logic is not logical. Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Verse 7. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. How does he know that? How does he know that there's this globe or flat earth? How does he know about the spans of the universe? Again, this science at that time in Hindu and Chinese and in Indian cultures, they say that the earth is suspended on the back of an elephant. But what's the elephant standing on? They can never give you that. It says here, he buildeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bonds until the day and night come to end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. He hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are the parts of his ways. How little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Listen, verse 8. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the clouds is rent not under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bonds until the day and night come to end. How does Job know this? You see, we're modern people. How does he know that air has weight? Some of your translations talk about the air having weight. It might be the New King James or RSV. But how does he know that air actually has weight? It wasn't until 300 years ago that a Christian, by the way, studying this, found out about density and found about air having weight to it. And there's a volume of it. You can measure that. Job, I make this conjecture. If anything, I think society and humanity and civilization is incredibly stupid today. Because with the technology that we have today, we can't even recreate the pyramids. But what does the world say? Well, the reason why is because UFOs and extraterrestrials came and they gave them that technology. That's the prevailing thought? That's your mind? The brain trust is because you can't explain it? And there's got to be aliens who gave this secret technology? And yet we know the pyramids were built by the Israelites. We know all the technology. We see the Temple Mount. When you go with us, you see some slabs of stone. They don't even need mortar because they're over 22 tons. And you can't slip a piece of paper in between them. It's so precisely and worked out that way and chiseled out that way and quarried that way. And how do they get it to there? And you could see all the how they did it. And yet we can't even recreate it with the technology that we have today. And did you know that one of the first cities in the world to have electricity? Damascus. Damascus had electricity and lights before Thomas Edison and Tesla did anything. Before them, how could that be? These minds didn't exist then. The electricity and the telephone and all these things. I don't say they had the telephone. Unless you look at some of those YouTube clips and people go back in history, and that's obviously an iPad in the 1950s. I don't know if you guys, am I the only one who looks at those YouTube things? And okay, just me and Rick. All right, so these are the things that, if anything, we've gotten dumber. And yet, it was a believer who, reading this, starts doing a study. Galileo was branded a heretic and kicked out of, excommunicated out of the Catholic Church. Good thing, by the way. Because he talked about the sun and the moon and what revolves around who and whatever. And well, about 5-6 years ago, he was exonerated finally because the Catholic Church finally admitted that, he was right. And Christopher Columbus sailed around the world because he reads Job and he finds the world's round. It's a sphere. Can you name the 4 ships that sailed with him? The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria? What was the name of the 4th one? We don't know. It fell off the side. This is the thing that goes on pretty bad, isn't it? Pretty bad, but you'll use it. How does he know it has water? It has volume. We call that, we know that here in the Midwest, don't we? Density, altitude, density, humidity. Which we affectionately call August. We get that. And then Arizona, it's a dry heat, right? But 130 still cooks a chicken in my oven. You guys get that? All right. And so here he tells them over and over again, how does he know that? Science is continually catching up with God. It's not the other way around. You look at chapter 26, but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped me? And that was without power saying these things. How have you helped me? How have these things worked out? And we see, even in the midst of him spewing and saying these things, yet we can pick some things up about science. Well, science finally figures that out. Chapter 27, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Man, after all you're going through, no matter how much you're badgering me, no matter how much you're pushing on me, I am not going to admit. I'm not going to cop a plea. I'm not going to, so you would lighten up on me. You're not going to get a false confession or a coerced confession here. Because, the very commands and the very word of God are more necessary to him than food. And what does he tell us? That he digs deep, and he digs deep for that wisdom. Moreover, he tells them here, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reprove me so long as I live. Let my enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. All of you Job's comforters. but anyone generally could be that way. I'm going to hold on to those things. So you're thinking, man, he's out of the pit. He's out of the pit, man. Now he's on that, what the world would call a manic high. All right. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gain, when God taketh away his soul, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? Remember what Job did when this thing that I feared the most came upon me? What did he do? I worshiped God. I will teach you by the hand of God that which is with the Almighty, will I not conceal? This is about, if you're taking notes, being an open, honest, and transparent life. Now, there's really nothing much he can do. He's full of boils. He's covered in boils. He's out there. His wife despises him. The whole city, everybody knows about this. So there's no use hiding it. But he says here, but I will, and again, how am I going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with this? How's Job dealing with this? He says, behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? This is the portion of the wicked. This is the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. Remember, he's already told him, you're going to be judged the way that you're judging me. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. This is biblical trash talking. You guys think you're comforting me? Your children are meant for the sword. Bread's not going to satisfy them. And your wives, they're not going to weep for you. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters of tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. This is some trash talking. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would vain flee out of his mind. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. We'll finish there, but read ahead. You know, he tells them about digging for that wisdom. We're going to read on. And it says, you're digging for all this material things and prosper in this way, but will you dig and go deep for the word of God? It fathoms me. It boggles me. It confounds me when I meet with people who say, I need to meet with you, Pastor. And then I just start going through, and they're asking me all these things, and they blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, so are you reading the Word? Oh, man, I don't got time for that. It has all the answers for life and godliness. It actually says that in 2 Timothy. It has all the answers for life and godliness. Why are you talking to me? What do you think I have? I mean, you know, you want the Pastor app and find out a good place to eat? I'll do that, but that's all you're going to do. The only thing you're going to get is fat. That's it. But the answers for life and godliness are right here. Do you pray? Do you read? You know what frustrates people? Some of you have been frustrated, is when you come to me for counsel and I say, great, the price of admission is do those 8 Bible studies online. Then I never hear from you again. I'm never going to chase you down. And the ones who do the 8 Bible studies, they show up and they go, hey, did these 8 Bible studies? Yeah, we don't need to meet. Kind of answered all the questions. Because some would think, well, those are beginner Bible studies. Those are beginner. No, they're not. You can go as deep. The Word of God is unfathomable. You can go as deep as you want. And you do those 8 Bible studies and you're like, oh. Some go, yeah, I just needed to get to Bible study number 3. You know, how to deal with people, because everyone around me just upsets me. And now I just realize after that Bible study, it's me. Yeah, we don't need to talk. It's just get you in the Word of God and to do those things. And others, they won't spend the time digging into God's Word and finding the wisdom. They'll spend the time digging and to get the material things. They'll spend the time digging to get all the other things they think that they need and they want and they desire. But the very thing that God has for us, that He wants to speak to us, As I was leading, Mike Dern and I leading the NYG last night, and just sitting down with the youth, the very young, immature males and female, and as we read through the Word of God, just teaching them, and maybe you folks need to hear this as well, and is that when you're reading it, do you just come across a verse and go, "Huh"? Put a mark by it. Study it. Same thing I'm challenging them. I challenge everyone else here. Do you read ahead for next week? Do you read ahead for Sunday? Do you read ahead for Thursday? If all you want is a Bible study, I can point you to another church and you can listen to this online. There's much more that goes on in church. It's community, to be open, honest, and transparent with one another. You can get this. If that's all you want is information, save the drive, save the trouble, man. But you come and you're not going to experience what we did today with worship and just pouring our hearts out to the Lord and getting that. Your community coming together. Do you read ahead? Do you study ahead? Do you prepare yourself? It's why when we go to Israel, a year before we go, we have monthly meetings. And I give you all this information. And I piecemeal it to you. So that way, by the time we get to Israel, we're not showing up to a site and there's like an hour-long Bible study. Wah, 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 wah. If all you ever do is just take a plane, land in Israel, and eat a Magnum, and be around Jewish people, you have done more for your walk with the Lord than 99% of the others who've never, ever gone to Israel. But you make it outside at the passport control and out of the airport, and you're eating a lot of Magnums, and you're getting the Word of God, and it's living, and it's active. But, you know, there's plenty of people who never read anything before we go to Israel, and they're lost. But you know what? When they come back from it, they're like, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible. Because there's a lot of things that they missed out on because they didn't read the information ahead. There's a lot of things that you and I will miss out on if we don't read the Bible and get ahead and has all the answers for life and godliness. Spend as much time digging for the wisdom and the gold of God's Word that you do in all the other pursuits and Bible watch what Radio. Happens.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.